The Burrows of Berea is a conversational podcast.
We study the Bible and we talk about it.
Not all of us are of the same faith.
And one of us doesn't have a faith.
But we still love one another, and we're going to continue to talk about these things.
The things we believe in and the things we believe about what we read in the Bible. Not all of these are necessarily true. Some of it is opinion and speculation. Thank you for
listening and speculating with us.
There you go. That was good. Yes.
You are listening to the Burrows of Berea.
Well, future representative Edgerton.
I don't know about that, but we're trying hard.
Don't jinx me, they say. Listen, I miss you a bunch.
I miss you. I can't wait to get back to normal life, whatever that looks like.
Whatever that may be. If you win, what's normal going to look like?
Well, until November, normal, because I don't have to campaign and I'm not officially elected until November. But awesome. That's just more of a formality. So yeah. There's no Democrat running.
So tell us what it's been like. I mean, the last time I talked to you, I've been telling the guys that listen to the audience is that you've been campaigning, going door to door. You did really well. You got 40% of the vote, which means you went into a runoff.
41%.
Let's get that right. So
I beat her by about 300 votes.
Wow. So tell us about it. What's it been like?
Well, it's been interesting. You know, I went into this not knowing anything about running for elections. Like, I Googled how to file for elections because I didn't know, and figured out how to file in South Carolina. And there's a whole bunch of things you got to do with ethics and making sure your money is in the right spot. And I didn't know anything. And 2 weeks after I filed, I had started that day because somebody said, and I had Googled, how do you win an election? Door-to-door knock. Okay, I can do that. So I started in my own neighborhood because I know my neighbors. And so I started in my own neighborhood and just knocking on doors, said, hey, I'm running. I didn't have anything to pass out. I had I had a Facebook page and that was it. And I just started going door to door in my neighborhood. And then I found this app where I could download voter data of registered Republicans. And then I could target specific people who vote. And so I knew time was short. I didn't realize that when you run for office, you're supposed to start in like December or January of the year, like months before, when filing date is like March 15th or March 12th or something like that. Some date, I can't remember what the filing date was. So I didn't start till the day of filing.
Wow,
so
yeah.
Many candidates were already campaigning. They had put announcements on their Facebook pages that they were running.
For people that can't see this video, you did air quotes.
I did. Yes, I did air quote campaigning there. Really didn't even know what I was doing, but I figured, you know, getting out in front of people is the way to go because people aren't coming to meetings and they're not going to come to my house, you know. So how do you learn about a candidate? Well, 2 weeks later, after the 2 weeks just about after the day I filed, maybe three, we got the first piece of mail that was generated about me from a dark money group. I hate that term, but I've learned that that's what it is.
Right.
What dark money means, they don't have to disclose where they get their funds. I have to disclose where I get my funds from. I have to be open and transparent, but this group does not. They sent out the first piece of hate mail about me that, I believe that women should be put to death if they've had abortions and if they had been raped or victims of abuse. With this horrible picture that they photoshopped with me where I looked like a puffer fish with spots. It was bad. And I kind of laughed. It came to Ella. Funny, because it didn't come to me. It came to Ella because she's a registered voter in her house. And for everybody who doesn't know, Ella's my daughter who still lives at home. And I started getting texts from neighbors and people in the community.
She was on the podcast. She was on the podcast with you before. You guys. Yep.
Yeah, just a refresher for people who are new might not have heard it. But and so I started getting text messages from people all over the district saying, hey, we just got this mailer. What is this about? And I went run into the mailbox, like, what in the world? And I pull it out and I'm like, it was the Palmetto Truth Project. And that's the name of the group that had sent it. And I started, couldn't find any information on them. So I was like, well, you know, this isn't true. Well, people who know me and know what I do at the pregnancy center and know my stance on life and know my personal testimony, which I've shared on this podcast, which I have, you know, reshared and reshared for people to listen to, they knew that that wasn't true. And so when other stuff started coming out, they were like, well, this must not. And then the last one was, she voted to not fund police and teachers. And I'm like, I've never been in office. I have, of course, I couldn't have voted because I've never held office. So I couldn't have voted on any piece of legislation prior to me taking office. So yeah. It kind of backfired. And that was the first piece of mail. And then it was every Friday we got a piece of hate mail with my name on it in big letters. And she's associated with this right wing fringe extreme group. But I just continued to knock on doors. I just continued to talk to people. It actually in some houses became a talking point. Hey, you know, we got these things. What's that about? And I said, well, I don't have any idea. They didn't call me and ask me any of these questions. They didn't say, do I hate police? Hey, Sarita, do you hate police officers? Do you hate teachers? Do you not like clean drinking water? I mean, it's ridiculous.
No, I hate just, clean drinking water.
I mean, come on now. And I kind of, it became a talking point at some people's houses, and they realized, you know, maybe some of this isn't true. And if it's not true about her and they're sending it out about multiple people, maybe we should look into who this is. And then reporters started getting a hold of who those people were. And they were funded by my own party.
Wow. Yeah. So that's a real kick in the teeth, huh?
It was a real kick in the teeth, considering none of those people in the party called me and asked me about any of it. Hey, you know, are you again? What are your stances on? They didn't even bother to call. They just took me as a target. And there were three of us in the race, and I don't know why they targeted me, but part of it was that somebody probably told them I was on the ground going door to door, and my two opponents were not doing that kind of campaigning. They were relying on putting signs out by the road, going to meetings with high up VIPs and people who have money, and people were giving me money, but it was regular people, you know, just normal people. And, you know, I wasn't being funded by chambers of commerce, or not even the SC GOP House Caucus gave me money. They gave my opponent money, but they didn't give me money. Right. And so when I say I'm going into this not beholden to any special interests, and you hear that a lot of times from people, I'm not beholden to special interests. I'm literally funded by my daughter gave me money, and my neighbor next door gave me money, and my friend's business down the street gave me money, and that kind of thing. So that's kind of where I am right now. And we ended up winning this thing with no money.
Yeah.
Or very little money.
Wow. Well, so I guess then, now that let's talk about where you are right now. So you've got to the point where you're in this runoff,
mm-hmm.
and you're doing what you've always been doing, right? Going out and meeting people and talking to them about what you truly stand for. So that mailer, even though it was a special interest thing, that actually probably put you on the map a little bit and got people talking about you, right? So it helps. Negative press is good press.
You know, they may have, you know, should have left me alone, and I would have probably lost the election and gone into obscurity.
Yeah.
You know, but they made it a big deal, and people began to Google my name. And I would, every time a mailer came out, I would see my numbers on my websites or my numbers on my Facebook page go up. And because people were trying to find out the truth. And so I tried to put out videos and posts, you know, telling people who I really am. And the meeting people has been the best part. You know, I had prayed and asked the Lord to let me win this thing outright, and that was not the plan he had. And so we had people at all the polls when they were done, and they always post the tapes on the wall of how that poll voted, and it'll break down. Should be happening in every state, but in our county, in our state, every polling center posts a tape at the beginning of the day that has zeros on it, meaning nobody's voted yet. And then they have a tape at the end of the day. Here's how many people voted, and here's how they voted. So many people for Sarita, so many people for her opponents, and then the other races as well. So we had people at all the polls, and we knew about four polls in. We just said, everybody come back to the restaurant. We're just going to eat. And it was mathematically impossible. We knew that we were going to win it. So we knew we had to go into a runoff, and that was a 14-day turnaround from the 11th until the 25th, which is this coming Tuesday. And actually, early voting started this morning at 8:30. So,
wow. So it sounds to me like the verse of scripture that says all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You felt the calling on your life to do this. I remember when you told me that. And then even though you don't win in this first one, like you said, it's not as planned. So, but yet all of these things that were coming against you have worked in your favor. This has been a great education for you just as a person to see what, you know, what this kind of world is like. How are you doing with the family? How's the family handling it whenever mom's getting attacked like that?
I think so. It hasn't bothered me necessarily as much as Michael. You know, this is his wife. Yes. Can you imagine if somebody's talking about Holly and it was lying, yeah, how defensive you would be? But it made him angry. The kids were like, Mom, you can't take arrows if you aren't flying over the target. So,
yeah. Now they're from a generation where they grew up with social media, so they're used to the negativity.
Right, right, right.
Our generation, not so much.
No. And I was surprised at how just really kind of chill all the kids were about it. And they were like, Mom, we know who you are, and God knows who you are. And if people meet you, they find out who you are because you're genuine and you're authentic. And when I go to the doors, I don't pretend to be anybody other than who I am. I never have to worry about what I've said because I try not to lie. I know we're not perfect in that. And, but I try not to lie about what I believe. And if you don't lie, you don't have to remember what you said. Yep. So, I know that's a novel concept for politicians, but again, I'm not a politician. I've never held
a novel concept. We all have our own ideas about what politicians are. But to hear stories like, hey, guess what? These chambers of commerce or special interest groups are giving money to other people, and they're putting out things where I couldn't have even voted on it. That's an obvious tactic. And that's politics. It really is. So
yeah,
let's talk about now. Today is early voting. And then when is the next vote? It's next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, 7 in the morning to 7 in the evening, and then it'll be done one way or the other.
And so we hope that all the people that voted for you before will come out back out to the polls, and then perhaps you can pick up some votes from the other candidates too. I mean, we'll just have to see.
I have converted several in the past couple of days, especially from the third guy, the guy that was running against me. He endorsed my opponent, even though he claims to be a Christian and he claims to be pro-life. He endorsed her, which is fine, because I have also picked up numerous endorsements this week from other representatives statewide, several conservative liberty loving groups. I probably picked up 6 or 8 or 10 endorsements this week, and that doesn't necessarily come with money, but I've also picked up some money, and that's helped so I can be able to put out some more mailers and put out some more text messages and things like that. But what hasn't cost me any money, it's just cost me time, is the shoe leather that I have, you know, used knocking on. We're working on 3,000 doors since mid-March.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
On a very small team. I have one lady named Carol who is precious. She kind of came along about 4 weeks in or so and said, I heard you were running. I've been door knocking for a candidate outside my district. Didn't realize I had anybody in my district who was like that candidate, and can I help you? And man, she has been a dang workhorse, and I am so thankful for her. I couldn't have gotten to all the doors that I got to without her, though Michael and I did before the primary election. Michael and I did about 2,100 ourselves.
Wow.
Plus her help. So, and we're back at it again. I've done probably 400 since, by myself since whenever I took the day, not the day off, the day after, but I had to do some fundraising that next day, making phone calls and, waiting for the election data to come in because I wanted the most up-to-date election data, because if you didn't go vote on primary day, unless you were out of town or something, what's the likelihood that you're going to go back and vote in a runoff?
Right.
So we were waiting on that election data. So we got that and started door knocking Thursday and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. What's today? Wednesday. I'm getting ready to go back out when we're done here, and I'll be out. I've been doing about 6-8 hours a day.
Wow.
And in the South Carolina heat, it's I lost 18 pounds. I don't need to wear a sweatsuit from the 80s. I thought about walking around with a sweatsuit. I might as well just sweat it all off, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Now I'm going to bring this up just because it's fun for me to bring this up. I have a lot of preterist friends that think that futurists don't, they think that it's polishing brass on a sinking ship. Folks, Serena Edgerton is a futurist, and she has knocked on 3,000 doors. I don't know of a better testimony than they don't just think that, especially you. So that's wonderful, Serena. You are out there.
Hey, if my ship goes down, yep. My brass is polished, baby. And my deck chairs are set up real neat, and we'll go down looking real pretty. But it's not because of lack of hard work. And that's, you know, when people ask me, you know, especially at the end of the night when I'm starting to look sort of humidity deflated, do you need some water? Are you okay? I said, listen, I'm willing to work hard, and I'm willing to get out and meet as many people in District 34 as I possibly can. And that's what I've been doing. And I actually met some preterists, and they were so thrilled that I knew what a preterist was. And
it was really funny how since then, because of that, remember that little miracle moment about Michael Rogers? And then the very next day, Bob Cruickshank says, hey, you need to meet this guy. And it was totally unrelated. And then I contacted him. Now he's coming to the show in October, which is hilarious. He sent me all of his books. I've got a bunch of his In Millennialism books here. So that was really cool how all that worked and transpired.
And it was funny because I got a phone call from the guy that I met, who's very sweet and just has become one of my biggest fans. You know, we went and sat in their house for Michael and I did and talked to him for a little while. And he was so excited to tell me about preterism, and he was so excited that I knew what it was. And I was like, "Real, you're not going to convert me, because if Rick Welch can't do it, probably nobody can." But
we'll let the Lord do the converting. I'm not doing it.
But he called me the other day and he said, "Guess what? Our friend Mike Rogers is coming to town in October." I said, "Yes, I know that." He goes, "Is he going to be on your podcast?" I was like, "Yeah, he is." He said, "Well, he wants to meet up with me." And I was like, "Oh, that's so nice. If he comes to Spartanburg, we should take him to dinner or whatever." But I've met some of the most wonderful people. Some people have graciously opened their doors. You know, the last thing besides the Jehovah's Witness maybe you'd want to see on your front door is a politician. I guess maybe a solar panel selling guy, but they're pretty hated down here. But for the most part, I've had some of the nicest people. I have almost every day literally been prayed over or had laid hands on and prayed over by people at their doors, on their front porches. I've had the privilege to pray over people who have come to the door and they've just had surgery, or they tell me, you know, hey, we get to talk to them and tell me, hey, my daughter was diagnosed with cancer, or I just got out of the VA hospital in Asheville, and I've been able to pray over people, and I write those down and I pray over them in my spare time. And I've been able to share my testimony. I've been able to share the gospel. And if my stepping out in obedience was contact with any one of those people,
yeah,
then that's enough. even if I don't win this thing. And I'm confident in whatever God has is the best for me. And, but like I said, I just met some of the most amazing people who are just living life, and, but they're kind of tired of politics as is. So some of this ugly stuff that has been coming out really ticked them off and pushed them the other way. And, that's just not who the people of this district are. And the people here are good people, hardworking people, you know, just want to live life and just be left alone pretty much. And sometimes our government won't do that. And,
yeah,
you know, then I show up on their door knocking and they'll say, oh, a politician. I was like, well, I've never run for office, so I'm not a politician. So
yeah,
I'm just a regular person. but so it's kind of become sort of, I don't want to say my mantra or my slogan, but I've said, you know, I've never been a politician. I've never run for office, and I don't want the words retired politician on my tombstone.
Yeah.
And I mean that. I don't want to go down there. And, you know, if I win, and I've been praying, or when I win, I've been trying to change that. When I win, I've been praying about how God would make it so that I can't be corrupted, or I won't be corrupted. So I know with discernment who to align myself with, mm-hmm. so that, and I've tried to talk to other people who have seemed to keep their head above all of this and not be corrupted and not get into being bought by lobbyists, or, you know, go to these dinners where you get caught in sort of a weird, you know, situation. And because it happens even in state politics, people get corrupted. The love of money is the root of all evil. And that is basically what happens when people get corrupted. It's the love of money. And and there you go. When it's the love of money, it's the root of all evil. Like,
that's right. A-double-L.
A-double-L. Yeah, just like he says, all things work together. It's the root of all evil. And so just, you know, praying for that. And I don't know what's going to happen on Tuesday. The Lord does. He's sovereign. He's not up there wringing his hands, wondering how people are going to vote. He already knows. And we'll just see what happens. And on Wednesday, I'm going to be floating around in my pool in the backyard. I told my husband, I said, unless you hear me fall off my float, don't ask me to move. Don't ask me to move. I don't want to move anywhere. I just want to float around and just, I am literally exhausted.
Yeah.
When we found out that we were going to have to go into runoff, we were at a restaurant, and somehow WYFF, our local news channel, drove up in the parking lot, and the reporter was getting out, and I said, we got to get out of here. Because I was about to cry. Because I was just, it was that tired, you know, when you're so exhausted that you just on the verge of, maybe you don't, you're a man, maybe you don't understand.
No, men do it too. Sometimes we get exhausted and overwhelmed, and it happens, or you at least want to
get emotional.
Loose. Yeah, and get emotional. Yeah.
I was like, let's get out of here. So we, you know, we took off before the reporter was able to get out and recognize me. And it's funny though, I get recognized in Costco. Hey, I voted for you. Or I'm awesome. Somewhere and I'm like, hey, I voted for you. And I'm like, thank you so much. And it's just bizarre, you know, like for that to happen. Like,
yeah, of course.
Hey, because my face has gone all over Spartanburg County now. And so in a few years, if I lose this, I'll go back to obscurity and no big deal. But I mean, we have a real shot, and we have momentum on our side, and we have a real shot at winning this thing. Yeah. So,
well, I would say,
I didn't think we would have at the beginning.
Well, just like you said before, it wasn't in his plan to let you win it in that first one. Now you're just going to wait to see what his plan is for this runoff. The end. Yep.
Yep. And my people were excited to vote for me the first time. And they're excited to go. I've gotten texts. We can't wait to go back and vote again. We can't wait That's to go back awesome. And vote again. So I'm hoping that, and it's going to be a low turnout. You know, we only had 13.5% of registered Republican voters vote in the primary last week.
Now, can only people who voted in this first one come back, or can other people come out?
Other people can come out. They can come out. Only if you, like, let's say, In South Carolina, we don't have closed primaries, which I want to fix when I get to Columbia. I think that's dumb. And I don't know if you understand that term, but you could, if you're a Democrat, you can switch over and vote in the Republican primary or vice versa. And they'll do that a lot of times. And I think they did it with Joe Biden, you know, when he ran a few, like the last time for president, you know, a lot of Republicans switched over and tried to affect the outcome of that because Trump was the incumbent. So they hadn't had anybody to vote for. But if you vote in a Democrat primary, you can't go vote in the Republican runoff. But we didn't have a Democrat primary this time. There was no Democrats on the ballot. So, or there were no Democrats on the ballot. So, yes, anybody can vote. If they're a registered voter, they have to have already been, have been registered. I want to say it was, I don't know, exact May something. They had to be registered by to vote in the runoff. So, yeah. So if they haven't voted and they're in D34, they can go to scvotes.gov and figure out where to go vote and vote for Sarita.
Perfect. Well, listen, I'm super proud of you. All the boroughs are super proud of you. And I know that our listeners that love you are super proud of you. That's why I wanted to do this. I wanted to give them an update so they knew what was happening. And now you know. So
Sarita's gone dark. No, I'm just kidding. I haven't gone dark.
So this is not a video, but we are on Zoom and you are laying, it looks like, on the couch. You got your neck propped. You're wiped out, but you've got more work to do today. I know it.
I'm getting after it. Just as soon as we're hung up, I'm getting my water and my ice chest packed and getting ready to go hit another neighborhood or two. I knocked out four yesterday by myself. So,
wow.
Yeah, just knocking doors and smiling and sometimes kissing babies. And that's always fun. And petting dogs, lots of dogs. I see lots of dogs.
Now, you don't use my words about babies, right? You don't say, boy, that sure is one ugly baby.
No, they're so cute and babies are precious.
I know they are. Well, listen, we love you a lot, Sarita.
I love y'all and I miss everybody and I can't wait to come back. Hopefully my husband will still agree to come and we'll talk about, there's some other things that I don't want to really discuss prior to the runoff election.
I'd like to have like a follow-up after the election is over and have you and the family come in the studio and just talk about the whole thing, the whole process. Like I said before, if you felt that calling on your life to do this, then let's talk about what the Lord has taught you through not only you, but your husband and your children in this whole process.
And the sacrifices.
I think that'd be a worthwhile episode.
And the sacrifices that candidates have to make to run. You know, I just kind of have taken it for granted and what people have to do to run for office and what it entails, both physically and mentally and spiritually. And, but just thankful for all the prayers. Just keep praying that the Lord's will be done and that, you know, whatever happens Tuesday night, that all the glory goes to Him.
Yep. Awesome. All right, Sarita. Well, go get your water pack, ice pack, and get everything going.
I love everybody. I miss you, Burrows. And I see donkeys as I go driving along the pastures, and I think, there's my Burrows. I miss my Burrows. But I'm coming back. Don't you worry. I'm going to write something, and I'm going to come back. We're going to do something. But
very good.
Anyway, well, love y'all. And thank you, Rick, for your support and your prayers and encouraging me with text messages and phone calls. And it's just meant the world to me to have your support. And So
you got it. All right. Well, I love you too. Take care. And we'll see you hopefully in the next couple of weeks. I can't all wait right. to see next Tuesday what's going to happen.
Can we do the?
Yep. Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye. See ya. Hey guys, this is Rick from the Burrows of Berea. A lot of people have been asking us, hey, what is this Patreon thing? Our old Patreon ad didn't work very well. So here you go, guys. Go to www.patreon, that is patreon.com. Let me do that again. patreon.com/TheBurrows of Berea. If you go to the Patreon page, you will find that we have different levels that you can give at. We have a $3 level, a $5 level, we've got a $10 level, and a $20 level. I thought about putting a $1,000 level there, but you never know how that's going to work out, right, Andy?
That's right. So go to www.patreon.com/theburrowsofberea and give us all of your money.
even a little bit, we'll be fine.
Yeah. And that 5,000 wouldn't hurt my either.
No, it would hurt nobody.
Thanks, guys.